Everyone, hallelujah. Amen. Are we recording video today? We are? Okay. Very good. All right. I just wanted to know that. Not that it makes a big difference. It's just that I kind of imagine that. I know there are a lot of people out there that are going to be watching this on the computer. And then after that, of course, the discs go out. If it's recorded, you know, the DVDs, if it's recorded video, then they go out all over the world. And I was just kind of wanting to know that. I was quite sure because cameras all sat there and everything. But anyway, praise the Lord. We are here because the Lord has called us together. And that's awesome. To be called together by the Holy Ghost. You know, I look around at this church world, this religious world, and I don't know if I should feel sorry for them or what. But you know, there are very, very few people sitting in churches that are hearing anything about the coming of the Lord or what's really going on behind the scenes. They just don't talk about it. And I'm going to tell you, prefacing the message today, we're going to sing a chorus yet too, I'm going to tell you something is up. Something is going on right now that's going to surface very soon. You watch it. It's coming. It's already happening. I don't exactly know everything about what it is, but the Lord has showed me this, and it's going to come forth in the message. I don't know what's going to come forth in the message, but this is what prompted it. The Lord has interrupted me to show me something is about to happen. And I'm telling you, I'm stirred up about it. Now, we do need to pray and ask for the blessing on the message today, and then sing a chorus as we go on into the Word of God. Father in heaven, we are so humbled to be in Thy presence. And, O Lord, we know that Thy Word is a great revealer of things that are happening. And, O Lord, Thy Word is able to reveal. Thy written Word is forever settled in heaven, is able to reveal those things going on around us, those things that are done in secret, those things, O Lord, that the powers of darkness are rising up, raising up to do great evil with. Lord, I pray now that Thou wouldst help us and help us to understand Thy Word and to perceive it and to be greatly moved and shaken, O Lord, by the great authority that Thou hast given. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst help us to rejoice in the truth and knowing that Thou art our Lord and Savior, that Thou hast created all things. Now let the devil be rebuked, let him be bound, cast out, made powerless, driven out, O Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, that he not be able to hinder us, nor steal away from any heart within the hearing, O Lord, of Thy Word, the words that Thou wouldst put therein. Lord Jesus, give us now victory, I pray. In the name of the Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I think I feel like singing "We're Coming Out of Babylon." I hope you do too. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with the joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. For we've taken our harps down from the willow trees. For the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout, praise God for victory. And we magnify the Lord. Let's praise Him today. Give the Lord a hand praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd say it's time for everybody that is living in this wicked world to wake up, because the Lord is coming. And it is at hand, and the time is at hand. We're going to open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 to begin with. And I think we'll call this message this morning, Antichrist Rising. Antichrist Rising. And I'll tell you what, it's happening right now. It's undeniable, and yet most people are oblivious to it. I'm going to begin in 1 John chapter 2 with the 15th verse. And the Apostle John wrote to the church, which includes us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It just isn't there. For all that is in the world, do you hear that, everybody? They talk about what a good world this is, and they're always improving things and making advances. This is the rhetoric we're getting from the news, you know. They'll tell you about trouble, but that's okay because, you see, either Barack Obama or one of these other characters or Al Gore or somebody's got the answer. They're going to fix everything. Right? After all, they're the Gnostics. They're the wise ones. By the way, the word witch comes from the same word that means wise one. Wicca means the same thing as Gnostic. And of course, that's how witches think. You know, they look at Christians as being dumb and stupid because they don't know who the gods are or goddesses. And of course, the Masons look at all the people out there as people who really don't have very much intelligence. They need to be managed by people who do have the Ein Sof, the intelligence to rule over them, that it is their divine right given them by the supreme architect of the universe to rule over those less gifted. And if you listen to these politicians talk, they're continually using the term ordinary American. You are ordinary. I am ordinary. They're extraordinary. See? That is the way they think. You are cattle to be managed. A herd of human cattle. But I got news for you. The Lord chose the base things, the weak things, and gave strength to them, and conversion and power to raise up a people that know how to pray, how to reach Him, how to get a prayer through to heaven that will change things on earth. Amen. They are not almighty. God is almighty. Now, he goes on and says, for all that is in the world, that's everything. That's the educational, or should I say indoctrinational, institution. See, we don't have education anymore. We used to have some of it, education, but we don't now. Now, if you send any of your children to a public school or to a university, whatever, they're going to get indoctrinated, not educated. I've been watching some of these advisors. You know, they're all starting to flock around Obama like they're going to get some kind of job with him, you know. And who is he gathering together? Rhodes Scholars. Now, people hear the word Rhodes Scholar. No, it's not somebody that studies highways. They hear the words Rhodes Scholar and they think, oh, that must be somebody pretty smart. Now, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. And he went through Oxford. In the front door and out the back. A Rhodes Scholar isn't anybody that's particularly smart. A Rhodes Scholar is somebody who has international leanings. It's somebody who is into the one world globalist mindset. That's all it takes. Cecil Rhodes provided money for certain select students, and the basis of his selection was internationalism. And those are people he promoted and then gave them jobs. Remember, Bill Clinton, when he became a Rhodes Scholar, of course, he was a Mason because he was in DeMolay. He was elected Mr. DeMolay of the Year, named for the Masonic Youth Group after Jacques DeMolay of France. But anyway, he was given the assignment of working for William J. Fulbright, sometimes known as Halfbright. And he selected him because he had international concepts, ideas, plans, And he fit right into their blueprint, right into their picture, and so they made him a Rhodes Scholar. But anyway, all the different institutions, and I'll tell you this, the churches of today, they can put all the crosses they want outside, they are anti-Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in them. And I do have compassion for the people that go there who really don't know what to think, especially some of the older ones who remember how it used to be when they had a little of something and now they've got nothing. I'm telling you, it is worse than you could imagine. And I'll show you that in just a little while. He says, all that is in the world, that means your governments at any level, your banking systems at any level. In fact, now they're saying, oh, we're going to have to investigate these banks. There's a lot of fraud going on. When wasn't there? It's always that way. The whole world lieth in wickedness. People talk about Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam is really Uncle Scam. We have I went to Washington a few times, three times I think I was there. Two or three times? Twice, okay. I've been so many places, I can't remember exactly how many times I've been different places, but been to D.C. and at the Capitol building, and of course you look at that, and on one side you've got the House of Representatives, and then you've got the spenditors in the spendit chamber on the other end, and they're both as crooked as a barrel of fishhooks. And everything they do has to be approved 13 blocks from the White House in the House of the Temple where the top 33 Masons get together and decide what Congress really can do and can't do. And I know because I've been in there and I was told that. Guy thought I was a Mason. On the way out, I can kind of talk like one a little bit, you know. But on the way out, I'm not a Hiram, by the way. But on the way out, he said, well, sign our book. What degree are you? I said, I'm not a Mason. And then he looked at me and changed a few different shades and tints of color in his face because he realized he said too much. And so I said, well, I'll write in your little book here. That doesn't bother me. But I'm no degree at all. I'm a visitor here. I just want to check this out. And you know, I'll tell you, he told me right out, he said, in this, and I went right up to the chair in the front there that the worshipful master sits in. I sat down in that chair, put one hand on each of these two different pillars that were sitting there, and I rebuked him in Jesus' name. That was technicolor. Amen. I understand what goes on in these places, and I want you to understand it too. You don't have to know everything about it, just enough to know that there is an evil system at work, and right now, as I speak, there is an Antichrist rising up to take power. You know, I got to finish my verse, but I'm so overwhelmed right now, I'm going to gallop off in all directions, I guess. But I had a phone call from a friend of mine up in Montreal this past week. And his name is Nicholas. I won't give his last name. He is a native Greek. He now lives in Montreal. Speaks very broken English, but very good English. And we got talking a little bit. He said, I wanted to call you because I don't think you heard about this. He said there is a big, some kind of a convention, conspiratorial conference going on in Greece. And of course, they're putting together, tying the last strings, as it were, to have all of Europe and then the rest of the world pulled into this whole thing. There's literally a one world government right now rising up out of the sea, as it were, and out of the earth. The one out of the sea has come forth really already, but out of the earth there is one rising up, and it's happening very quickly. And very soon their Superman will appear. The other day I saw a picture of, I thought it was Superman. It was dressed with a big S on there and the cape, you know, and the blue and the red. Interesting colors, too, in the occult. But here was Superman, and he had the head. His head was turned like this, and it was Al Gore. And he's standing there like this, with his arms out. And right down at the feet of this Al Gore was Barack Obama standing there like this, just like him. A little Superman. Now, I wonder if, Dr. Frankenstein, when he made his monster, his composite monster, which is a microcosm, a type of what they're doing with the whole world. That's why it was in that area near Ingolstadt in Bavaria where the Frankenstein story was written by a deranged, demon-possessed author. But, you know, Dr. Frankenstein had his assistant, Igor, had to go and find a brain somewhere. They're always missing a brain. Do you ever notice with these mystery religions, they're always missing a part somewhere. There's some secret word to get into the temple, or some secret password, or some part missing, or some sacred book that should be there, and they're the only ones that got it. All this kind of nonsense going on. But you know, when I look at all of this that's happening, it fits so clearly. If you know your Bible, every event, every day of the week, over and over again, it's moving together now. The Bible is so exceedingly clear in defining the current events of our day. You can't miss it, but they're missing it. Only a spirit of strong delusion, whereby they would believe a lie, could possibly put so many people into an altered state of consciousness, walking through this world under the influence of some mysterious force. And they cannot think it through. They've lost the ability to think. They've been indoctrinated and brainwashed for so long in so many ways that they no longer possess the ability to think for themselves. That's where we're at. And the Lord said, I just want you to understand everything out there. Don't look for anything good. Some people think, I'm not really a religious sort of a guy, but I'll go to heaven because I give to the United Fund. All those queers? You know, the United Fund, by the way, is Illuminati. It originally was called the Red Feather Fund. Anybody old enough to remember when it was called the Red Feather Fund? What was the Rockefeller's coat of arms? Five red feathers for the five Rockefeller sons. How many sons did Moses Amschel Bauer have, who changed his name to Mayor Amschel Rothschild? How many did he have? Five. Remember that man in Bible that went to hell and wanted the water dripped on his tongue there to cool his parched tongue? What did he say? Go to my five brethren! Send back Lazarus from the dead! Tell my five brethren! Where's the number five come from? Read it in the Bible. It's the number of death. Remember? Smitten under the fifth rib? Read Genesis chapter 5. It's a list of all those who died. And he lived so many years and he died. And he died 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 and he died. Write down the whole chapter. He died and he died and he died in the fifth chapter. But to be smitten under the fifth rib meant you died. Right? To the heart. All right? So here's this number five, and here are these Idumean, Edomite imposters that are up there running the whole show with all the finances. You know, they really should take credit for the condition the world's in, but they wouldn't dare. That's why they have to remain secret and conspiratorial. As everything comes down and crunches down and folds up, they want everybody wondering, huh, what happened? You know, paying all this money for fuel, the bank accounts are disappearing. As a matter of fact, the FDIC has a list of 90 banks that they know are going to fail, and they're moderate to large-sized banks. They will not tell us which ones they are. Their thinking is, if we knew, we would run to the bank and get our money out of us dirty, nasty people. We want our own money, see? You're not supposed to want. When you put it in there, it's theirs then, see? That's the way they think. They list it as their assets. They're not going to list it as yours. I mean, how dirty and rotten could a people be to put money in a bank and think they could get it back? You know, how can they think like that? But see, that's their mentality. 90 more bank failures, big ones, and I'll tell you, FDIC is going to go under, and everything else is going to go with it. Over in Great Britain, well, it used to be great. Over in Britain, they issue these statements, stay away from the dollar. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has condemned the dollar. The Bank of International Settlements has condemned the dollar. Everybody's condemning the dollar. They're taking the reserves of dollars and throwing them out. Get them out of here. We don't want them. Why? They're bringing this erstwhile great nation down to the level where it is totally dependent on all the rest of the world. Therefore, you must unite the earth as one entity. And then that earth becomes a mother. And that Mother Earth is a religious being, just like Hitler's Vaterland, remember? Loyalty to their Vaterland. Now it's loyalty to Mother Earth. And you got to watch it because Al Gore is right there to make sure you stay green. Well, the Word of God tells us, you know, I wonder how many other preachers in town are doing this morning. I just wonder. Anyway. Oh, I wish they all would. In fact, if they all would do that, I would stop for one Sunday and preach some nice little Bible study. Just one. If they would all get on this. But you won't see that happen. He says, all that is in the world, in verse 16, 100% of it, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, I was listening to the radio the other morning, and over in Watertown, the Perkins restaurant, the manager invited the Dalai Lama to come over for lunch. And he thought the Dalai Lama showed up. It ended up later, it was his assistant. But he introduced himself as the Lama, you know. And so he bought him free lunch, you know, and everything. And you know what he said? He said, that's the closest to heaven and to God that I'll ever be on earth. Remind me to stay out of Perkins. How can anybody think that that goofball from Tibet is God? How can anybody think that Herr Ratzinger, the Nazi, and the Hitler Youth is God on earth? Now you might say, oh, he's not God, he's the representative. Hey, if you say he has got equal power with Jesus Christ to forgive sins, then you're calling him God. I don't care what else you say. And I'll tell you what, I would rather be filled with the Holy Ghost. That Pope doesn't have enough power to knock somebody's head off. Including that pointed one he wears, looks like a fish head, because his god is Dagon, the fish god. That's why Friday is sacred to the Catholic system and all this fishy nonsense business, huh? You know, I wasn't prepared to do this today. Let's just see where it goes. So all these things, 100% of this, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. He makes a difference. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. You put your trust in the world, you love the world, you can't possibly love God. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll love the one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon comes from the same root word as mammary glands. In other words, that you, the Mother Earth is nursing you. You're all just a bunch of babies dependent on Mother Earth and the mammon that she provides. You know, you go to school, technical college, regular college, what do you do? They say you matriculate, right? What does that word matriculate mean? It comes from the same root, mater, right? When you graduate from there and get your sheepskin degree, then you have an alma mater, a bountiful mother. It all relates to, it's for a reason. You see, you have to find your place of loyalty in your sacred Mother Earth, who is about to bring forth a new child, a mother and child reunion is only a motion away, according to Paul Simon's song. And you remember that song that he wrote, A Hazy Shade of Winter? How does he start out? Time, time, time. See what's become of me. Now, the passage of time. And then he gets into one of these verses in the middle of it, and he begins to sing, seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Remember that? Every witch out there is indoctrinated in this, that time is woven in a tapestry. Witches believe in tapestries as the recording of time from the vantage point of the astral plane. When I went down to Biltmore Mansion, which is the headquarters for the Illuminati in the United States, now they have an office building in New York, they have other places, but their headquarters is at Biltmore Mansion, near Asheville and near Brevard, North Carolina. Dr. Stuart Crane was saying he flew over there at midnight one time. He watched the procession of all these Rolls Royces and limousines going through the winding roads in the darkness of night with the full moon up there going up toward that mansion for their meetings. I went in a room there called the Assemblage of the Gods. Shirley was with me. And tapestries hanging on all the walls with pictures of their gods and goddesses. Pan was there with the horned hunter, you know, the one who strikes panic and pandemonium, the basis for Peter Pan, and so forth. Now, all these different gods and goddesses, and they had 13 oak chairs on each side of the table, and they had some kind of a burner, for some kind of a sacrifice thing on each end, that they put coals in and burn something. I spotted what it was in a minute. I mean, these people are for real. The devil has a people. Jesus looked at some of these characters one time. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. We look at people and we assume things. They've got, most of them anyway, two arms, two legs, two eyes. They look like human beings walking down a street. But what's on the inside of them? What's living there? What is missing from their brain? What don't they know? Why do they do what they do? Not all people are just people. There are emissaries of Satan. There are those that are as massive segments of society being groomed by demonic spirits to fall lockstep in with the one who is about to rise up. Remember in the Nazi realm how the arms would go up? As soon as they'd see even a picture of Hitler, old Schickelgruber with his Schnurrbart. Or they'd see the Hakenkreuz, the swastika, another word for swastika, the bent cross. The arms would go up. A massive sea of humanity out there raising their arms. Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil! It was like a mass hysteria swept over them. It was a spirit! When Jesus was on trial, every devil that was ever cast out of heaven or willingly left heaven, every evil spirit was in attendance of his trial. No wonder the mob began to cry out as they did. Well, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you see how he sets a barrier there? It's one thing or the other, cannot be both. And the Lord wants us to define this in our lives. I've said this before and I'll say it again as long as I got breath to say it. I don't care who anybody says their God is or where they go to church, I'll tell them who their God is, the one they turn to for help in time of need. That's your God. And the world passeth away. You see that? The world is dying and dying and dying and dying every day. In fact, I think it's already gasping for breath. Now we got the Russians mad at us because, and China, Red China is mad too, especially China. Russia's mad because we're threatening Iran. But China is mad because they said we caused that earthquake over there. using our HARP system out of Alaska, sending those frequencies over there, and that vortex causing the earth to rattle, and set it off. You can aim it at a fault line and move it enough through the HARP waves. Of course, we got an ELF installation up here in northern Wisconsin, extremely low frequency. They built this big, massive thing up there. Has anybody ever seen it? It's huge. And they said, all that is an antenna system so we can talk to submarines. From Crandon, Wisconsin? You know, do they think we have stupid written on our foreheads or what? But thank God the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Thank God for that. You know, the news media in this country tells us almost nothing. Oh, well, they'll tell you about movie stars and the new Batman movie and all that. Who cares? They got all that. That's news, see, over here. That's news. You know, it's been that way for a long time. Back in the early 60s, when Charles de Gaulle was the Prime Minister of France, de Gaulle was kind of a rebel, you know. Not quite as much as Khrushchev. He didn't take his shoe off and pound it on a table like Khrushchev. Well, Khrushchev never took his shoe off. He had a third shoe in a briefcase. And he'd reach down and get that, and he'd pound it on the table, we will bury you, bang, 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 you know, for effect. He never really took his shoe off. That was too much work. He carried an extra one with him. But anyway, de Gaulle was kind of a little bit of a rebel. So de Gaulle challenged us, challenged America, I should say. And he said, I am going to fly three Delta Wing Mirage fighters over Rota. Rota is our top secret military base near the Iberian Peninsula. Nobody gets near it to this day. And he said, I'm going to fly three fighters over there, and I'm going to take pictures, and I'm going to send them to you, just to show you what I can do. So he's got these three Delta Wing, remember the Delta Wing planes? Mirage fighters come in. They come in near Rota, they go into full tilt, they come down to get the pictures, and all of a sudden, in all three planes, all instruments die. Every instrument went dead simultaneously in every plane. The engines flamed out. Nothing worked. They were hit by nothing. The pilots had to bail out. They ejected. They came down. News of it all over Europe. Some strange, mysterious weapon that the United States has. There wasn't one newspaper in this country touched it. You didn't hear one word out of it from Dan Blaber. Huh? Or any of these other characters. They wouldn't touch it. There are strange things going on. There are, what about these flying saucers? U.S. Air Force atomic powered. I was corresponding with a Marine down in near the Y-12 plant. Down near Oak Ridge, and he said he watches them at night. You know, he said he sees the ground open up, and they come out of there and take off and come back. You know, he said that happens all the time. Late at night, the ground opens up. This opens up, and out they come. We've had anti-gravity for a long time. They don't tell you about this stuff. They had microwaves. And masers, microwave amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation, a long time before they sold them to you so you could make popcorn in a paper bag. They have all this technology, and when they're through playing with it, they'll give you a little bit of it, see? Just want you to understand how the world operates. It's important for us to know that. But the Bible says that this world is going to pass away. Notice, passeth, continues to pass away. It's been a dying world for a long time, and believe me, we're on the tail end of it right now. But that doesn't particularly bother me, because the Bible says the Lord's going to create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Apostle Peter told us about this too, didn't he? Many places you read about the world waxing old, like a garment. But God will bring forth a new one. But it says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That makes me want to be right there in the middle of his will. Little children. Now watch this. Here's where we get our title from. Little children. Now that doesn't just mean those under the age of 12 or whatever you want to say. Little children means all of us. The Lord refers to us as children, and I thank God that He does. Little children, it is the last time. Doesn't that kind of move you a little bit? It is the last time. If He said it 2,000 years ago, we are on the far tail end of it now. And ye have heard that Antichrist. See, that word is in the Bible, isn't it? Shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. See, the sign of the last time is not that there is one antichrist, but there are many. All these antichrists rise up. And of course, then there's one that goes to take his place. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of antichrist. You start to wonder, who is it? Who is it? People used to think, boy, you know, Bill Clinton must be the antichrist. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but he'll do till the real one comes along. I mean, he's doing a job for him. He's an antichrist, that's for sure. Some people say it's Al Gore and all these different theories. Well, the fact is we can identify what an antichrist is. And when that character, whoever it is, rises up, the Bible does teach that, doesn't it? There is a man of sin, a son of perdition. Of course, every pope has been one of those, but there is at the end one who rises up. I think the Scripture is quite clear on that. How are we going to know? It will be revealed to us. The world's going to see a Savior. We're going to see a devil. And the world's going to look at you and say, what? Here's an answer, you're not accepting it? Here's a guy who's going to fix everything? And you're calling him a devil? That's when you're going to really have a line of demarcation. God will reveal it to His people, but not to the world in general. God's not going to come down and say, okay, nobody believe Him, He's the Antichrist. No. God reveals it to His people. Now notice what it says. They went out from us. Who are going to be the main supporters of the Antichrist? Phony Christians. Phony Christians, rebellious, backslidden Christians, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They never were. You just thought they were, see? For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There is the prime source. They know the terminology of a Christian, don't they? They can sing the songs. They can go through all the motions. But they're not real Christians. Now, thank you, Gerlinda, for sending me this last week on the computer. There is an organization called the Pew Foundation, and they did an extensive survey of those claiming to be Christians. You know, the cross-waving people. All right? This is what they found in this massive survey thing they did, okay? Of all the mainline Christian churches, 83% said that Jesus Christ is not the only way. 83%. Just so you know where you stand. You drive past these churches, oh, isn't that wonderful? A Christian church. It's a bail box. That's what it is. Now, evangelicals, you know, the fundamentalists, 57% said they do not believe Jesus is the only way. Now, these are These would be people who would fall right in with Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. What about, and Billy Graham has said things like this. Anybody who is truly sincere will go to heaven. A sincere Buddhist will go to heaven. A sincere Hindu will go to heaven. As long as they're sincere. Is it possible to be sincerely wrong? Doesn't it happen all the time? That's like C.S. Lewis. You know, he wrote that book, Mere Christianity. That sounds like a slam right there. Mere Christianity. In other words, that's all it is. And in that book, he said that Christianity, heaven, he said, heaven is just like, it's like when you go to Chicago, you could take the Dan Ryan or the Tri-State Tollway. There's all these different roads going to Chicago. So there's many, many roads going to heaven. The problem with C.S. Lewis, whom they idolize as a great man of God, they almost swallow their Adam's apple when they say, God, you know, these apologists. You know, the problem with them is they can look at it that way if they want to, but their problem is we're not going to Chicago. We're going to heaven. And straight is the way and narrow is the path, and few would there be that find it. Not many. You know, when our dear sister Joyce went on to be with the Lord, I've known her for many, many years, watched her life and her love for God and everything. And when she left, it was a great sorrow to me, but I said, thank God she made it through. There's one who made it through, you know. And everyone who makes it on through, what a blessing to leave this veil of tears and go to the glories of heaven. It's really something living down here, you know. The Lord put us here for a while, and we'll do the job He gave us, but it's not getting easy. So of those evangelicals, 57% said, no, we don't believe Jesus is the only way. How about the Roman Catholic Church? Aren't they all about Jesus? 79% said they do not believe Jesus is the only way. And mostly black churches, in the majority of them, 59%, said they don't believe Jesus is the only way. Well, you know, they've got the crosses up there, they got the songs, they do all the stuff, but there's other ways in. There are other philosophies and ideologies, and after all, look at the sincerity of these people praying to these idols and things. You know, isn't it admirable how they give their whole heart to this? I don't think it's admirable to see somebody give their heart to a devil. Do you? That's where we stand. What can I say? Wow. Christianity, emerging Christianity, is emerging as a conglomerate, an admixture of every kind of sin and evil, every kind of blasphemy rising up. In a few minutes, I'll give you an example of that blasphemy that's coming at us with a powerful force. But anyway, here, he mentioned that there are many antichrists. Now, I'm going to turn my page to 1 John chapter 4 for just a moment. Here, John wrote to the church and said, this is chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit. See, some people think if it's spiritual, it must be good. They use the word spiritual. Spiritual. Yeah, but what spirit? He said, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many. Jesus said they would deceive many. So you look at the big majority of what's called Christianity. Where do you find deception? With the many. Okay? They turn it around and say, watch those little lunatic fringes, those little gatherings of nutcases, you know, that won't join anything. They won't go with anything else. They're by themselves and they will not give in. You can't change them. There's a reason for that. The Holy Ghost abides within. You've got a love for the Word of God. They're not going to change you. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now notice, the true Jesus Christ, not some Jesus Christ, not a Jesus Christ. These so-called Christians that are standing up in these pulpits, they're all presenting some kind of a Jesus to you. But the one they're presenting does not match the one who died for us on the cross of Calvary. That's why they don't want to talk about the blood. The devil can't stand to hear about the blood. The atoning power. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. If you say there's another Jesus, another way, you are Antichrist. There's your religious world. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The Antichrist forces of darkness. Now, what we're going to do is go over for a moment here to Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to look first of all at verse 1. Revelation 13:1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." You know, here's John about to behold a vision that would shock anyone. Anyone that has a love for God and a capacity for heaven's truth. But he's seeing almost the same thing that Daniel saw way back there in the Old Testament. In fact, if you read Daniel and Revelation, you'll find that the book of Daniel fits into the book of Revelation like a hand in a glove. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." Try to remember as much of this as you can so that when we go back to Daniel for a few minutes, you can tie this together. Listen to every word. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns on those 10 horns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." So you know where that comes from. All right? "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." So, kind of looks like a leopard, but it says, "And his feet were as the feet of a bear." That's an entirely different kind of animal, isn't it? "And his mouth as the mouth of a lion." Another entirely different kind of an animal. You see, this beast is so grotesque looking, it looks like you took several different beasts and sewed parts of them together. There's your Frankenstein again. Frankensteinian technique there. This is a composite beast. "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now we know, of course, that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy given way back in Genesis, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Remember? But with all that Jesus did at the cross of Calvary, why is this beast still living? Why is he still rising up? And why in this last time has he risen up to great power? It was all meant to be to fulfill prophecy. Now we're going to come back to this, but I want to read verse 4 also. "And they worshiped the dragon." Folks, people worship they know not what, and they end up worshiping the devil. In fact, we know who we worship. And if you're worshiping and you don't know what you're worshiping, I guarantee you you're worshiping the devil. All right? And notice what these religions always say. "Oh, we have the sacred mysteries, the stations of the cross." Right? You get into Catholicism. Do they have any mysteries in Catholicism? Mystery, mystery, mystery. People are intrigued by mystery. They worship they know not what. All right? So it says they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. That's dragon powered. And they worship the beast saying, who is like unto the beast? Now watch this. Who is able to make war with him? This meeting of all these nations down in Greece going on right now, getting ready to take complete power over all of Europe and eventually all the world. There's something rising up out of the sea near Greece. You know, that Mediterranean Sea and all around the nations around it, including the nation of Israel, this is where prophecy is being fulfilled at the very end. And there is a power rising up in that area of the world. My friend Nicholas was saying he was sending me information in detail on this. But they're getting ready to move. Now, what are the people saying? How are they impressed? Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Something so strange, so powerful, is rising up that none dare challenge it. Now, hold on to your page, because we're going to go back to Daniel for just a couple of minutes. Remember what we just went through here? Notice Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision. Now, can you put yourself in his place? How would you like to go to bed and have a dream like this and wake up to it? And behold, the four winds of heaven, north, south, east, and west, strove upon the great sea, the Mediterranean, of course. That was the great sea. All the way from the coast of Israel to the poles of Hercules or Gibraltar. The Middle Sea, the Germans call it Der Mittelmeer, Middle Sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Notice they're all different, vastly different from each other, all coming up from the Mediterranean, that area of the world. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That's a disabled lion. That's a government that thought it was godlike and turned out to just be a man. Isn't that something, how they get in these governmental positions and think they're little gods? But of course, there's just a man behind that curtain. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. And see, we can see who they really are and that they really have no power that God wouldn't allow. Somebody's got to cry out and say, the emperor has no clothes. There's a reason why those little stories were written. See, we can do that because we see it for what it really is. Remember the story? Go back and read a couple of them just for fun. You'll see all the ways they fit into the world today. And behold, another beast, the second, like unto a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Kill a lot of people. All right? By the way, that first beast was Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. By the way, that second beast is Medo-Persia, or modern-day Iran. And they have the capability right now of killing much flesh. I'll guarantee you that right now. They've got the capability. And by the way, who is the biggest supporter of Iran in the world? Mother Russia. What is Russia referred to as? The Russian bear. Remember? Anybody study history? You know, back in remember back in World War II, they had these war songs. Stalin wasn't Stalin. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Now Stalin wasn't Stalin when he told the Beast of Berlin he'd never rest content until he had driven him from the land. So they called the Yanks in English and proceeded to extinguish the Fuhrer and his vermin. That's how it all began. Then it goes into the speaking part. Now the devil, he was reading in the good book one day how the Lord created Adam to walk the narrow way. And it made the devil jealous. He turned green up to his horns and swore by things unholy he'd make one of his own. So he packed two suitcases full of grief and misery and caught the midnight special going down to Germany. Then he mixed his lies and hatred with fire and brimstone. Then the devil sat upon it. That's how Adolf was born. Now Adolf got the notion that he was the master race. And he swore by things unholy he'd put mankind in its place. So he set his scheme in motion and was winning everywhere till he up and got the notion for to kick that Russian bear. Anybody remember that song? Where am I from, the Twilight Zone? Back during World War II, they were all singing it. Right along with Goodbye Mama, I'm Off to Yokohama. A million fighting sons of Uncle Sam, if you please. We'll soon have all those Japs right down on their Japanese. You know, all these war songs that they sang. I don't know, maybe I read too much. But anyway, the Russian bear. And here, Russia relates to Iran. Now, he mentions a leopard in verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, what do these all have in common so far? They rose and they fell. The lion rose and fell. The bear rose and fell. The leopard rose and fell. Now, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. You know why the Romans won so victoriously against their enemies? How are you going to put iron swords against copper swords or bronze swords? They were snapping them off right and left. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Then, of course, it tells about how I'll just read the next verse. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Now, Rome fell in three stages, didn't it? Any historian would tell you that. Well, how about these 10 horns? It says, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. A very vocal horn. Horn being an authority, one who would rise up in power. Now, of course, we know historically, the papal system, Rome, the Pope, replaced the Caesars as a little horn with a mouth speaking great things. But also remember this about prophecy. You'll find prophecy being fulfilled in type all through history, and then at the very end of the world, it all comes together in a crescendo, and it looks like it's all being fulfilled again. Bang, 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 bang. There it is again. It's a little horn, an antichrist, with a great mouth speaking great things. A big mouth horn. Now remember when Rome originally fell, it fell to 10 barbaric tribes. The Goths, gotta excuse me, I'm 58 years old, the gray matter gets a little soft here. The Goths, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Heruli, the Suevi, the Huns, the Franks, the Turks, the Burgundians, and the Vandals. There's all 10 of them. That's how it fell to those marauding tribes. Fulfilled Scripture, didn't it? But right now we have a world divided in 10 segments. The Club of Rome, Aurelio Pache. Watch that number 10. It's a number of testing. Remember? God gave the world 10 commandments. Jacob said to Laban, these 10 times have you changed my wages. You find a lot of tens all through the Scripture. God uses patterns and numbers in the Bible. Does He not? All right? So if you read here with me in Daniel chapter 7, it tells about those beasts. But now go back with me to Revelation in chapter 13. And you will find that from this sea, this beast comes up, but it's not all one animal. Parts of it are like a leopard, parts of it like a bear, parts of it like a lion. What is it? Where are the demon spirits that worked in these empires long ago? People come and go, people live and die. They assume room temperature. They fall down dead, if not of old age, an arrow gets them or a sword or something. But what happens to the spirits? They haven't died, they move on. They advance their cause with the next set of human beings and stooges, preferably in high places, in governments, to set up kingdoms and realms. And they work very well through secret societies. How many politicians are Masons? Hey, you don't get above dog catcher unless you've got the black onyx ring with a compass and square. Every one of these guys are Maha boneheads. What does this all tell us? What Jesus said is true. Jesus Himself prophesied, being God Himself, that spirit that dwelt within the flesh, our Heavenly Father brought forth prophecy through the mouth of Jesus Christ and told us it would be thus. And so it is. But you look in Revelation and you see this composite beast empowered by the dragon. And what was written on it? Blasphemy. Have you seen any blasphemy in these days? Heard any? Here's a little one. See how you like these apples, pun intended. Here is an advertisement sent to me from Australia for the iPhone 3G by Apple Computer. Anybody ever heard of it? Now, I saw that iPhone 3G. John, what does the letter G mean to you from what you remember? Yes. Yes, you become, you go, you're entered into the lodge, and they tell you it's, the G is God. You become fellowcraft as your past. Then they tell you it's geometry. And then when you get to be a master mason, which is the highest mason you can be, until you go on into the Scottish or York Rite, whatever, then they tell you it's generative power, right? They get these different explanations for the G. Of course, their geometry is their big play pretty there. They like to play with that, you know. But anyway, isn't it interesting? You got 3G. Now, it gets worse. Here's the advertisement for this Apple. And by the way, Apple Computer, when they made their very first computer, they purposely priced it at $666. Wanted to sell it to every American for $666, right? Their symbol was an apple with a bite out of it. Thanks, Eve. Huh? And then I saw it was actually an Israeli ad for Apple Computer. Came out in Israel. It showed an apple with a bite out of it, but it also showed the cord for the mouse, kind of slithery-like, with the head of the cord sticking up looking at the apple. Now, here's what the ad says. You ready for this? Fasten your seat belts, if you would. This turbulence ahead. Okay? Here's the advertisement for this popular new, it's actually a second edition of the phone. The first one kind of fizzled out, but this one they say, now they got it. Okay? Here it is, the advertisement. The mobile device dubbed the Jesus phone is about to have its second coming. What's written on that head? Blasphemy? The iPhone 3G, the new incarnation of Apple's first foray into the mobile
handset, pardon me. This is a fax, so you have to really look close. Handset business will go on sale in 22 countries on Friday. And Australians will be among the first in the world to witness the buzz surrounding this much-hyped touchscreen device that is part phone, part iPod, and part pocket computer. The Jesus phone is having its second coming. And it's the new incarnation. This is an ad! They don't have to say that. But they've got to get their blasphemy in. They've got to get their licks in. They've got to get their punch in there to insult God. And you know what's wonderful? People went rushing out to get these things and none of them worked. Not a one. They had to, people were so mad they stood in line for some of them 24 hours to get one. Their Jesus phone, their new incarnation, having its second coming. And the thing, they went back complaining. None of them work, not a single one, because there's some technical problem with the towers and so forth and the communication system. None of them worked. That's the hand of God. They're going to insult Him. He's going to let them have it. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Woo! So, we find that in this book of Revelation, as you go all the way through this, I wish I had the time to go all the way through the chapter. Maybe we will at some point. I've probably got about 7 or 8 minutes here max. But we know that what's going to happen, if you're still with me in Revelation 13, that there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's verse 5. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. What does tabernacle mean? The dwelling place of God. Tabernacle. And them that dwell in heaven. He's got to even blaspheme them. See, you can't get at them. So he'll blaspheme them. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Do you ever feel like you're challenged? Do you ever feel like you're fighting a battle? You know why? We're at war! Some people say, I don't want that. I just want a nice, peaceful little... I want to just settle back. I don't want to get involved in any kind... Hey, whether you like it or not, if you're going to serve Jesus Christ in this rotten world, you are going to be fighting a war. People are going to hate you. Your own family members are going to hate you. You're going to have all kinds of trouble, but you will win in the end. And you don't know at what point some others who are now fighting you will be converted. But notice, a lot of people fall. We've been seeing people that profess Jesus Christ fall right and left, haven't we? That's what it's talking about here. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So the power is over all nations, including especially all false Christianity. And if you lose your life, you've lost nothing. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. How do we overcome? Through that patience and that faith. By the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Make it known. That's how you overcome, the word of your testimony, because the blood of the Lamb will back up those words with the power of heaven. We have nothing to be ashamed of when we walk with Jesus Christ. They've got everything to be ashamed of and need to know it. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now we get over to Greece there. This is going on right now. I'm convinced of it. There, an antichrist is rising up near the great sea. The United States is weakened, beaten down to the point where, you know, people are still in disbelief. Sure, a couple of banks failed. But when Uncle Scam comes out and says, we know there's 90 more big ones going to go under, but we're not going to tell you who they are. What do they expect people to do? Say, well, that's okay, you can keep it. Remember Roosevelt making the big appeal for the gold? Bring in your gold. The dollar is sagging because of lack of confidence. Band was playing Stars and Stripes Forever. He's on the radio broadcasting. Nearly everybody, 95 to 98% of the people, turned their gold in at the bank. He said, I want it for 90 days and have it back. After they took it all in, Roosevelt passes a law making it illegal for them to request it back. If you went to the bank and said, just ask for it back, it was a felony. They'd lock you up in the federal pen. How dare you ask for your gold back? What a charlatan. It's that way now more than ever. Fish to be caught. You know, people to be deceived. I'm glad we can walk with Jesus Christ in the light. In the light. And they're not fooling it. We know them. We know their names. We know all of their names. And I predict that one fine day, our Lord will come back and fill the heavens with the angels of God. And He's going to put an end to all this. And all the grief and all the sorrow will be gone. But right now the fact remains, there is a beast that has risen up out of the earth. And it's about to take its place as the answer man for the entire world. And notice, He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before Him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. What's He doing? He's going to induce worship through a spiritual seduction of all the religions, telling them, well, this is really Him. You know, you were worshiping Him anyway. You just didn't know what to call Him before. And He will prove to them that through their religions, they were worshiping this man all the time. We know it now. You'll never see me in a Catholic church taking the Eucharist, because I know what it is. But there are a billion people who come and stick their tongue out and grab it, put it on the end of their tongue, and just like a frog, you know, boom. And it sticks to the roof of your mouth. It's like that fish food, you know? That thin white, and you break it off. I remember the first time in the Lutheran church they gave me that. Put it on the tip of my tongue. I pulled it in, and it stuck. Went right to the roof of my mouth, and I had to go up in there and scrape it off. I think some of you did that too, because I can tell. But you know what? I don't know if the Lord's going to allow me to just... I really should finish this, and we're just out of time here. I'll pray about it. If I can finish this next Sunday, I'll do it. Because I want to go in from here and show you what is coming very soon upon the earth. Now, I know you probably like to hear a little... No, I shouldn't say that. I think you like to hear what you're hearing. Some people want nice little stories and things that make them... rock them to sleep, and they walk out with this goofy smile on their face, you know. Huh? Everything's all right, you know. I saw a guy walking down Johnson Street in Madison. He came right out of the Guru Ramdas Ashram's place. He was wearing a sheet wrapped around him. He had this expression on his face, like, moving his head around, just breezing down the street, waving like this. He was under the influence of something. People walk out of these churches with the same basic effect. We need to be challenged and moved by the Holy Ghost. It's just about to happen here. It's going to bust wide open. I believe that's why the Lord put this on me today. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm wound up tighter than an 8-day clock on Sunday night. And I see things happening, and I don't know if I'm getting them across. I hope at least a small percentage. There's an urgency. Pray. Call upon the Lord. It's just about over. And I'm looking for Him. And I believe He's coming. Everything out there verifies it. Because everything He said is happening before our ears and our eyes and all of the perception God would give us. I'm going to hopefully move on with this next time, because there's more to be told. You know, and the devil comes in, you know, during the week, oh, they don't want to hear all that. You know, tell them something, you know, don't worry about it. Do you ever get the devil throwing things at you? Huh? You tell them that, they'll run you right out of there, you know? No, it's true. And we believe him. Well, let's stop right here because time is gone. We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Dear Father in heaven, oh, how we need thee. They've risen up against thee, Lord. This whole world has risen up in blasphemy against thee. Even those that claim Christianity have just put thee to an open shame through their false professions. But, oh God, we stand as thy people. We rise up against all the darkness, Lord, as thy children redeemed by thy saving blood. I pray, Lord, that every person in the hearing of my voice, either now at the present or later, those that listen, that they would be moved by thy Spirit and that thou wouldst fill us all with courage. That we would rise up and be vocal and speak, O Lord, from the conviction of our hearts. For the time is short, the day is exceedingly evil. O God, help us to reach out with all the strength that thou wouldst give us. And let thy name be glorified, O God, for the time is at hand. And let the evil one be made powerless in thy sight and in thy presence. And help us to abide there where thou art giving us the strength and where Satan is disabled. Help us to walk in thy will. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Glory to God.